Friends in Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, our joy and our salvation. Again from Psalm 126. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. This is the word of God. Please be seated. I will admit it to you, I actually used to like that old hee-haw show, and those of you who remember it, Todd, yeah? I actually like the show. I guess I like corny humor. Remember the old song, Gloom, Despair, and Agony on Me, and that deep, dark depression? And there was a character on that show that was played by a Baptist minister by the name of Grady Nutt, and he was a nut. Tragically, however, he died at the age of 48 when he was killed in an airplane crash in November of 1982. But on this Sunday, when we have lit the joy candle on the Advent wreath, there's something that Grady Nutt used to say that I think is worth our reflection. He said, "Laughter is the hand of God on the shoulder of a troubled world." Our mouths were filled with laughter, the psalm says, and our tongues with shouts of joy. Laughter is the gift of God, a gift that we need almost desperately in these days of terrorism and unemployment and dysfunctional government and estrangement within families, when all is not calm and all is not bright. The writer of the Proverbs, I think, understood the importance of this gift of laughter and our need for it. He said, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." There is something about joy and laughter that brings us to life, like a rush of water in a barren desert. And the scriptures for this day all hint at this, not just our psalm. But Isaiah said, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord." And Paul said in the epistle, "Rejoice always." So have you heard any good jokes lately? You know, just that comment is enough to sort of bring us out of the doldrums and to lift our spirits and to fill us with the anticipation of laughter. Heard any good jokes lately? Here's one. There's an old farmer who was inconsolable after his dog had gone missing. So his wife suggested to him that he take out an ad in the local paper, which he did. But 2 weeks later, there was still no response to the ad, no sighting of the dog, no one called. And so his wife asked him, "So what did you write in the ad?" And the old farmer said, "Here, boy." Joy and laughter are the hand of God on the shoulder of a troubled world. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. That message of the psalmist, as the people of God thought about leaving their captivity in Babylon and going back to the promised land to rebuild, That message is so relevant to us because it acknowledges the pain and the loss and the devastation that are so much a part of our lives so often, and yet at the same time, it points us to something beyond our present condition, to a homecoming, to liberation, and to a new life in a renewed creation. Near the end of his ministry, Jesus gathered his disciples together, and he told them, "You will weep and you will mourn and you will have pain, but your pain will be turned to joy and no one will take your joy from you." And then he said, "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I like the words of one preacher who says it this way. He said, "The resonant laughter echoing from heaven is not cheap, shallow, watery frivolity. It is rich, deep, vivid joy. It is gladness that comes from the same place as suffering, joy that comes from the same place as tears. It is the joy of men and women who face the suffering, injustice, and pain of the world in all of its fury, but have taken hold of something stronger, deeper, more powerful. They have grasped the assurance of the ultimate triumph of the goodness of God. They are of good cheer because they know that the power of God in Jesus Christ has overcome the world. You know, there seems to be an assumption, I think sometimes inside the church as well as outside, that, you know, we Christians are supposed to be such serious people. Wipe that smile off your face. You're in church. Mark Twain said, you know, there's no humor in heaven. And apparently in the mind of many, there's no humor in the church as well or among God's people. After all, how do we show our joy as the people of God? Woo, we light a pink candle instead of a blue one. Woo! But people are sadly mistaken if they think that those who partied hard last night and yucked it up and stayed out to the wee hours of the morning and are skipping worship are somehow better off than those of us who got to bed on time so we could be bright and alert in the house of God. The writer of Ecclesiastes says that the laughter of a fool, and a fool is defined as someone who denies God, whether in their words or by their actions, the laughter of a fool is like the crackling of thorns under the pot, he says. That's an interesting analogy. If you want to heat up a pot of stew, you don't use thorns to fuel the fire underneath it. Those thorns, they flare up fast, but then they quickly burn out. Their fire is short-lived and they'll never heat up the stew. They cackle and they crackle and they're loud, but it accomplishes nothing. That's the laughter of the world. It's bright, it's flashy, it's loud, it's hot for the moment, but it's all for nothing. Jesus says, "Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep." There is no long-lasting fuel for that kind of laughter. But the laughter of the child of God, our joy, by contrast, is a long-burning oak log, steady and strong and long-lasting. It is a laughter that warms the heart and the spirit with the hope and the joy of much better things to come. Their laughter, the laughter of fools, usually is stimulated by booze and partying and dancing and socializing. And a lot of times it is an attempt to mask an inner pain or an inner emptiness. But our laughter is the hand of God on the shoulder of a troubled world. We don't laugh to try to mask anything. We laugh because we have a Savior who has overcome our pain and who has filled our emptiness and is bringing us to the home of eternal and perfect joy. You know, I have to share with you something that really encourages me as I minister among you. I've been with so many of your families at a table at a funeral home as you plan the funeral of your loved ones. And on so many of those occasions, as we gather around that table, there is a lot of sadness, of course, which is reflected in the tears. They don't have the tissues on that table for nothing. But there is another dynamic that I often see at work in the room among you Christian families. I see joy and laughter sometimes as you reflect upon the life of your loved one and give thanks to God and gratitude. And, you know, I've even had some people tell me that they felt a little bit guilty about laughing at a time like that. But I say to you, it's a perfect time for a Christian to rejoice. And yes, even to laugh. Not that we're trying to cover our pain, no. But because we have a God who is putting His hand on the shoulder of our troubled lives and is saying to us, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Sometimes it's the toughest times in which the joy of our salvation shines through the brightest. You know, G.K. Chesterton said, "Angels can fly because they take themselves lightly." Friends, we take our faith seriously, but we don't have to take ourselves so seriously or even our situation. But on this third Sunday of Advent, as we have lit the joy candle, along with Christians all over the world, we are reminded that ultimately our joy is not in ourselves or in anything in this world that is here today and gone tomorrow like a flash of thorns under the pot. We rejoice in the Lord. As the psalmist said, God is my joy. Jesus is our joy. He is our laughter. He is the good medicine for a broken spirit. You know, after Jesus' time of testing in the wilderness, he was worshiping in the synagogue at Nazareth, and he was reading the scriptures. And he opened the scroll to the passage from Isaiah that was our Old Testament reading today, and he read the text, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to comfort those who mourn in Zion, and to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit." And then he rolled up the scroll. And everyone there in the synagogue was sitting on the edge of their seats, wondering what he was going to say about that text. And then he opens his mouth and he says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, he claimed, "I fulfill these scriptures." It got him in a lot of trouble there in Nazareth. But to as many as believe on him, who call upon his name, Jesus is this good news from Isaiah. He is the one who was anointed by God to bind up our wounds and our broken hearts, to restore gladness to us instead of ashes, to give us a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. He is the one who binds up our hearts. And so we rejoice and we laugh, even in the midst of our pain and loss and devastation. Because in Jesus, we can hear the resonant laughter of God Himself in heaven as He delights in the victory of His Son and in the victory of all who believe in His Son and who love His appearing. So be joyful, you people of God. Discover an occasion for laughter. I don't know, live big and laugh big today and do something really crazy and fun like light a pink candle at home, huh? Let a torrent of God's redeeming love flow into your desert. Let your weeping turn to laughter. Let your desert become a garden. Rejoice. You are not alone. In Christ, God has put His hand on the shoulder of our troubled world. Let us pray. Oh God, in this season, remind us that we are not alone. Help us to continue to pray without ceasing and encourage us to rejoice always and to know that Your hand is upon us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ until life everlasting. Amen.